Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and be opening up to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at Romans 12 tonight. In the early days, when Michael Muccio led a whole group of us to the Lord, we would have this little Bible study afterwards. And this is after Michael moved away. And there was a group of about five, six families. And we'd get together and pray. I didn't know then that I was called to be a teacher, you know. As I look back on that group now, I used to get intimidated and really feel bad. We had this one guy in the group that is a pure-blood evangelist. He just like Alan Taylor says. I mean, just all you need is John 3:16. Just rip that page out of your Bible. Take it with you. That's all you need. What are you doing in here praying, teaching stuff? You know, we got people dying and going to hell right down here on Peoria. Let's go right now. And I'd go. This guy, you know, he could win more people to Jesus in 5 minutes than I can in a year. That's his gift. And he can't really see anything else. He had no interest at all in nurturing those people, teaching them, growing them up. He would call it babysitting. He's no interest at all in that. And that's all I really wanted to do. From the beginning when I got saved, what I hated was seeing Christian people getting beat up by the devil and not knowing how to stop it. And I hated that. Anyway, I'm free today. Glory to God. So let's look at Romans 12, though. I thank God for different callings in the body. And thank God we're going to a church where you can find out for sure what your calling is. And you don't have to be guessing. You don't have to be intimidated into it. You don't have to try and be something that you're really not. See, my ministry as a teacher begins when the evangelist gets done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 will plainly tell you, until they get born again, they have no capacity to know the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness under them, neither can they know them. They can't know them. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. These things are spiritually discerned. So even though we use articulate language and it enters through the eye gate, ear gate, mental gate, still, these things are spiritually discerned. And if you don't have a spirit of, if you haven't been born again, as a teacher, I only have one message for you, and that's the cross, until you do get born again. But I have nothing else to do. So that's why there's different ministries, different callings in the body, okay? And it's amazing to me, Romans 12, this is deep calleth unto deep. Romans 12 comes after Romans 8. Now, 9, 10, and 11 is to us also, but it's kind of a side thought compared to what he'd been talking about in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. He was showing the difference between somebody who's not born again, trying to keep the law with the power of their mind, compared to somebody who is born again, learning how to walk in the law of love by their spirit. Well, Romans 8, he's talking about how that new nature gives you the power to overcome this flesh and mortify the deeds of the body. It's through the Spirit, little s, that you mortify the deeds of the body. And the Holy Spirit also helps us with those infirmities. And he's talking about the power of the praying in other tongues as the Spirit makes intercession for you. Then, near the end of that, he kind of leaves that thought for a minute and kind of focuses on the Jews in 9, 10, and 11. But then chapter 12 picks up exactly where Romans 8 left off. So he's been talking about the new birth. He's been talking about the Holy Ghost and how as you pray in the Holy Ghost, he makes intercession for you according to the plan of God. He knows your calling. So with that in mind, he says here in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I think there is an aspect of fasting in that verse right there. He's been talking about the new birth. He's been talking about the Holy Spirit also helping as we pray in other tongues. Well, now he's talking about presenting your body a living sacrifice. But it's more than just fasting. See, in chapter 8, he says you mortify your body. Well, how did you offer a sacrifice under the Old Testament? You mortified it. You brought that lamb. You killed it, did you not? It's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the body. The thing of it is, for that lamb, it was over in just a few seconds. for your body. It's a living sacrifice. It's constantly being killed. It's constantly. So it's not just seasons of fasting. He's really talking about a lifestyle. This reminds me of when Paul says, the moment we received our glorified bodies, everything that we suffered in this one, trying to keep it under, dealing with the appetites of the flesh. He says, it's all of that suffering is not even to be compared to that moment that you receive that glorified body. I'm really looking forward to that one. This one gives me trouble. I don't know if you guys, but this body I have now, it gives me trouble. It wants to do all kinds of stuff. But thank God, through the new nature and the power of the Holy Spirit and fasting, Dave again was talking the other day how he just laughs every time he thinks about Jesus' answer to the men sent, wanting to know, well, the Pharisees fast and John's disciples fast, but you and your disciples don't fast. He said, could you explain that to me? And basically his answer was, you don't put new wine in old bottles. And Dave says, I can just see him looking at him. Thank you. Thank you for that detailed answer. I now understand everything there is to know about fasting. But it really is exactly the truth, because Jesus was about to do that very thing. No, you don't normally put new wine into old wineskins, because what will happen, it'll burst the wineskins. We were about to receive the new nature after the cross, receive this new wine of the things of God, the Spirit of God. But unfortunately, he had to leave us in the old wineskin. And what he's saying there, he's saying fasting while we're in this dispensation until we receive our new body. Fasting has the same effect on your old wineskin. It helps keep it under. It helps mortify it, keep it mortified, so that you don't wind up having some kind of disgrace and bringing disgrace on the name of Christ and, sleeping with your neighbor's wife or whatever. Okay. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When is it going to be over? The day you receive a new one? Or the day you go home, whichever comes first? One of these days, like Dave says, you're just going to take a step and people will go, and you wonder what's going on. You'll look around. You took a step, but your body didn't. It's laying back there behind you, Well, from that point on, it's not going to give you any trouble. Okay. But until then, it's a living sacrifice, meaning you got to, even though it's alive, we have to keep it dead. We have to sacrifice it all the time. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That was a favorite verse in the denomination I grew up in. But they would just use it by itself. They had no concept of Romans 8, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and praying the mysteries and everything that led up to this statement. In that denomination, they absolutely believe that that you can just learn by the power of the mind everything you need to know about God. I beg to differ. He didn't say, I'm going to send you a mind so you can teach yourself. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And he is going to lead you into all truth. I thank God for the ministry of Dave Roberson, who taught us how to activate that teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That ministry of renewing your mind, yes, it includes the Word. I thank God for Dave teaching me how to meditate in whole images and then also teaching me how to assimilate the Word. But I thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You came too late to tell me this doesn't work. I was in the trucks, driving those trucks. I didn't have time to meditate. I couldn't take off and just read the Word or anything. Those trucks, they didn't have even radios in them. Most of them weren't even air-conditioned. These were just industrial-type trucks I was delivering. All I did was begin praying, just giving all those hours to praying in other tongues. And boy, here it come. Here came the teacher. The only variable that was changed, I couldn't listen to cassette tapes, and it wasn't coming in through the ear gate. It wasn't through the eye gate. I know it was through praying in other tongues, and line by line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, he began tearing down all that false doctrine on the inside of me. seemed agonizingly slow at the time. Your devil will tell you nothing's happening. I look back on it in 17 months. Of 17 months of that, he called me full time. Just amazing. Enough renewing of the mind. I'm telling you, Dave is teaching us correctly. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Assimilate the Word of God. You will not stay the same. Okay. Be not, and you're going to get strange. Well, that's what that means. Be not conformed to the world. You're not going to be like the world. I think the church at large is too much like the world, don't you? Be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, remember back in Romans 8, just don't have to remember. Let's back up and let you see it with your own eyes. Verse 26, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit, and that should be a capital S, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, one of the first questions everybody has normally when they come to the prayer center and start this is, what am I called to be? What is my part? You know, am I an evangelist? Without the ministry of the Holy Ghost, in my own life, I would have wound up being a pastor. I have just no doubt at all. That's what I probably would have been. My temperament, and plus, that's the model that I grew up seeing. You know, what I grew up in, what they said in church was everything had passed away, except pastor and missionary, you know. Well, Sunday school teacher, we had that, but I never did. Well, I probably would have wound up being a pastor, and God would have blessed that all that he could, but that's not what I'm called to be in the body. And I'm not a street evangelist. Trust me, I've tried it. I can go with you. I can share my testimony. I share Christ at Quick Trip and getting gas and other places too, you know, and pray for people at Walmart. But I know that's not my primary calling. I can't focus on that all my life and ignore what he's called me to do. So let's keep going here. For I say, now what we're after here is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay? Holy Ghost is going to help you find that. Included in that is your calling. And he starts talking about your calling. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, most of you have heard Dave teach on that. What is that measure of faith? He said, God has dealt it to every man. You know, Dave went to those who are somewhat among them. Well, what is this measure of faith? And he says, the Greek scholars, well, Brother Dave, we're not sure if it is the measure of faith or a measure of faith. Dave says, what good is that question, if it never changes you? I mean, he kept praying about it, and finally deep called unto deep, the measure. If you have a pie and you break it up into six pieces, each piece of the pie is a measure. Oh, the body of Christ is a whole, but it's made up of many parts. God has given to every man his measure of faith to fulfill his part. You have the faith that is required. God put it in you. It's part and parcel with your calling. You will be able to accomplish what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. Look at it. He says, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And what he's about to talk about here, look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, there's many pieces of the pie. Many pieces of the pie. There's many parts in this body. All members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Oh, my God. What if that little group that Michael led to the Lord, and what if we'd have known all this back in those days, and instead of one putting, you know, heaping condemnation on the other because you wouldn't go street witness, what if it said, hey, I think we're getting this figured out. Your part, you're an evangelist. I'm going to support your ministry. Go get them. Go get them, but tell them where we're going to be meeting, because I got some stuff I think I can teach them. And then what if we had a prophet, which we did, in the group that could really hear from God, and He could add his part, and then all of these other parts that we're going to look at here. And then what if somebody had a ministry of giving? And they could help them financially. And what if the whole body of Christ, what if everybody found their place? What if everybody really found their place, prayed and listened to the Holy Ghost until they not only knew their place, were equipped for their place, had the provision for their place, and were functioning in their place? Telling you what, the body of Christ would be a harvesting machine on planet Earth, not only making converts, but also making disciples, growing them up, and then they could go find their place, and then so forth and so on, and that's how you win the world. Okay. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now notice this. That grace is what? Did you earn it? Did you decide what your office is going to be? Was this grace earned, bought, purchased, or given? Given. You don't get to choose your calling in the body. I can't just choose to be an evangelist. If I did, He would bless that all that he can, but I'd be way out on the edge of his permissive will somewhere. You know, way out on the edge. We had a lady comes here all the time. And one of the very first, I had no idea, I didn't know. The first time she ever came, and one of the first times at least, came, and I happened to be doing that service, I had no idea who she was, had never seen her before. All I'm trying to do is obey God in that service. In that service, I was talking about how we're not under the law anymore and we're free. We're free from the law. I had no idea that her whole Christian life, she had sat under a Christian ministry that had put them back under the dietary laws of the Old Testament. She says, in 20 minutes, I destroyed 20 years of doctrine. That's the office of a teacher. That's what a teacher does. You know, I didn't know I was even doing it. I'm just doing what I've been called to do. And at that moment, delivering the message that I was hearing him say, and he was the one that knew she was there. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So here we go. Verse 6, having then gifts differing. I don't have the same gifting as Red. I love Red's ministry. Man, hey, do y'all, time out for a minute. Yes, I remember the name of it. Do y'all realize that about a year or two ago, what they did here today, they did at one of those casinos out of either New Mexico or Arizona? Can you imagine these guys, sloppy drunks, sitting, drinking their beer, and they're up there, you know, doing, you know, those songs like they did today, singing about Jesus and giving an altar call? And do you know God's favor was on them to the point they asked them to come back? Now, I could never do that. I just not my calling at all, but I thank God there's somebody like that in the body of Christ. Thank God. All right? So having then gifts differing, don't be under condemnation because your gift is different than somebody else's gift. According to the grace that is given to us, now he starts listing some of the gifts. Whether prophecy, well, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, let him focus on street ministry. Is that what it says? And I'm not again, you understand? He that teaches, what am I supposed to focus on? Teaching. Teaching. Now, I can go, I can witness, man, I can share my testimony. I do every time I get a chance. I'm not bashful at all. If you hang around me very long, you'll find out I'm not bashful about sharing Jesus with anybody. But I just know that's not my calling. I can't focus my time doing that. He's always, when I pray and get his mind, he's always talking to me about how the teaching can go out more, farther, with less money, and touch more people. Praise God. Teaching. All right. On he that exhorteth. On exhortation. Here's this. He that giveth. You know there's a ministry of giving? There is a ministry. God calls certain people. Who was it said the other day? Doug. I think Doug was saying. It's amazing how many people tell me they're called to that gospel entrepreneurship. Well, why do you think you're called? Because I need the money. one of my good friends in another state who really is called to that, it took him almost 10 years of praying and seeking the Lord before everybody else knew it. And he really was a businessman and a good guy, good Christian guy. But he says it took him about 10 years seeking the Lord. And one day the Lord really opened up his eyes to his own self. He said, I had no idea. I mean, I knew I was called to handle lots of money for the kingdom of God. But a side thought in me was, yeah, and we're going to have a lot of money for us too. Yeah, I'm going to give a lot to the kingdom. Side thought, we're going to have a lot of money too. And he says, finally, the Lord got it across to me why we wasn't having a lot of money. He says, all of that money I was to steward for him was his. Was his. Well, that's stewarding the pound. You know, if you haven't heard that teaching, it's out there. Praise God. But there is a ministry. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. In the margin here, it says, liberally. Let him give liberally, you know. He that ruleth with diligence. Isn't that interesting? We don't have a lot of that in the church right now. He that ruleth. You know, part of ministry is to rebuke. In Christian America, nobody likes that word. But part of ministry is to rebuke. And you better be called and anointed to do it. I am not, as far as I know. But if Pastor Dave or Tim or someone in that arena, if you get a rebuke from the Lord, it's a rebuke of love. And it's like Lily. When I give, that day she bounded off the porch and ran towards the destruction. She's headed for the street where the cars are going up and down. I rebuked her bottom. Grabbed that girl, held her by one arm up in the air, about 3 years old, and wham, wham. And I don't care what you say. Wham, wham. He that spareth the rod hateth his child. Man. And I told her, I said, I mean, that was her. And that girl loves me. She loves her papa. She knows I did that for her benefit. You know, I am her favorite chair in the house. Anywhere I am, she's on me, you know. and I'm okay with that, you know. But you know, if we need a rebuke from the Lord, I remember, you know, here we go, Hebrews 12. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Scourges, you get a whipping. Now, he doesn't put cancer on you. You get a whipping in your spirit, you know. You tell a lie and try and get away with it, you're going to get a whipping. On this, you know, you can't get away with that. So, in the body, there's a people. Now, I can just see it now. I heard that message by Gary Carpenter. Yep, I'm called to rule. Oh, God. Yeah. There's a difference between he that ruleth and he that meddleth. You know, I find no gift of meddling. Paul one time had to rebuke, had to rule concerning Peter. Remember Peter? Peter was eating barbecued pig along with the rest of the Gentiles, you know, until he found out that the bigwigs, James and the elders, were coming from Jerusalem. And all of a sudden now he wiped his mouth, got the barbecue sauce off, and we're eating kosher all of a sudden, you know. So Paul, in the spirit of love, had to rebuke him. And that was a manifestation in my mind of this ruling, you know. Yes, sir. One time we had, this is quite a few years ago, so don't try and figure out who it was, but we had a predator in the prayer center, and he was quietly but methodically going from doing his best to have his way with the single women in the church, one at a time. And Dave found out about it, and from the pulpit, he didn't point him out by name, but he says, if you don't stop, this is your one and only warning. I know who you are. I'm not looking at anybody. That person is not here. I know who you are. I know what you're doing. This is your one and only warning. Stop or leave the church. And if you don't, the next time I'm going to point you out publicly. Well, he left. Because he wasn't interested really in the things of God. He was interested in what his flesh wanted. There is a place for ruling in the church. And do it with diligence. Then right on the other hand, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I like that. Ruling with diligence on the one hand and mercy with cheerfulness on the other. Sounds like Jesus to me. You know? But these are different manifestations. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, we've kind of left the gifts here now. But what he's saying now applies to every gift. See, this is the transformation to Christ, is the way I understand it. We are, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, we are changed into that same image. Here he's talking earlier about be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Well, this transformation is transformed to the image of Christ. Well, he is all of these things that we're about to look at. His life in us is these things, but we have to let that transformation happen. How many of you found out you can manifest the old man pretty easy? You know? Abhor that which is evil. You know, that's a prayer I'm praying now. Over 20 years, and I never prayed that really, but that's a prayer that I'm praying now. Gary, are you involved in a lot of real evil stuff? Not that I know of. Sometimes you find out that you're more evil than you think you were. But if he hates that which is evil, then I need to hate that which is evil. This is something I'm actually praying now. Father, help me. Help that transformation come to where I abhor. I mean, not just abhor. That's a strong word. Hate, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. See, I know what cleave means. A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Well, I understand cleaving unto Sue. Okay? Well, I want to cleave unto that which is good. Amen? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. But be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Now, that's not talking about a business enterprise there. It's talking about your activity. Not slothful in your activity. Sometimes we do need a little kick in the pants sometimes. Are we doing anything for the kingdom of God? Well, if you're fairly new here and your activity, what it should be right at the beginning, is prayer. Alan, if he was here, I'd ask him to come up and share his testimony again. When he first came here from another ministry, he kept expecting us to harness him up. I mean, that's what he's used to, very, very, you know, active, and give me an assignment, give me work to do here at the prayer center. What would you have me do? Well, here's what we'd have you do. You see that chair right there? There's nobody sitting in that chair. You need to epoxy your britches right there and start doing Romans 8. Just mainly right now. Don't be doing a lot of other things. Just pray and read your Bible and maybe listen to some of Dave's messages if you haven't heard them, but mainly pray. And God, then he started hearing from God. God wouldn't even let him do any traveling ministry, remember? Now, you have to make an appointment to ever have lunch with the guy because he's gone all the time. He's gone to Brazil. He's gone to Canada. He's going to be gone to Japan, I think. I mean, dear Lord. But your activity in the beginning is prayer, fasting, meditating the word. And you keep on doing those things. But what happens then, as you begin, as the transformation process and the education process by the Holy Ghost goes on, you start getting assignments from the Lord. Your ministry is birthed. You start doing those things that you find him telling you to do. Pretty soon, what happens then, you get so busy in your ministry, you have to fight for your prayer time. And that's a good problem, though. Amen? Not slothful in activity, but fervent in spirit. And what's it all about? Building my ministry. No. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I'm going to recommend something to you that's not exactly this, but in my own ministry, I have two dates in my calendar. My own ministry. I shouldn't even say it that way. In Gary Carpenter Ministries, which that name, by the way, is the one he told me to call it because he said, I want people to be able to find you. Anyway, Sue and I we didn't want to name it after ourselves. We came up with all kinds of little, we were going, Sue, S-U, and Gary, S-U, G-A-R, Sugar Ministries. We will sweeten your life. We come up with all these different things, and finally in prayer he said, just call it GaryCarpenter.org, just Gary Carpenter Ministries. I want people to be able to find you. Okay, all right. But what I was going to say, I have two dates in my calendar, so I don't forget. But twice a year, it's kind of like when Abraham offered up Isaac. You know, Isaac was the manifestation of the promise of God. Isaac was Abraham's ministry, if you'll allow me. It was the product of his faith. And God asked him to put it on the altar. Twice a year, I have it in my calendar. And I take a few days, I get alone, get rid of the distractions. And how I do it, literally, so I have a point of contact. We have you have a corporation book, you know, your lawyers that help draft everything. It's articles of incorporation. It's another ring binder about this big. But that's my point of contact, and I take it before the Lord, and I just lay it there. I lay my hand on it. I say, Lord, this is your ministry. I'm making sure that I remember it's your ministry. And right now, it's yours, and I'll end it today if you say so. Or I'll change it. Whatever you say, that's what I do. This is not my ministry, even though my name is on it. This is your ministry, Lord. And I think if you do that, I think it's a real good help. It's a good safeguard. I'll never forget when he had us in. The only ministry we had was that Bible study we had in our house for 2 years, and people got saved there. One of my son-in-laws got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at that very Bible study, you know. People got healed there. And then he, just without any warning, hardly a few hours before that service that night, he said, this is the last service. Tell them tonight. And they were crying, going, why? And I'm going, I don't know. And I'm crying. And I look back on it now, thank God I obeyed him. He is the Lord. It's his ministry. Let's say it a different way. It's his body. Does my kidney have any right to argue with my head? I don't know where kidney is. Kidney? Does my kidney have... I don't want to process that today. I don't want to do that today. You know, a kidney should not argue with the head. A kidney should do what the head says. Well, that's the way it is with us. It's his body. It's his ministry. Okay, got to keep going here. Not slothful in your activity, but fervent in spirit. Always remember who you're serving. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. That's not always easy. When we got obeying the Lord the best I knew how, yet we still wound up $47,000 in debt. I don't know how many of you have heard about that. He got us out, by the way, without me having to sell any holy water or any sand from the beaches of the Jordan. But without us having to do anything other than what he told us, he got us out. But I got to tell you, during that time, it looked bad. When the circumstances are bad, that, you know, the enemy just pounds your head. You never heard God in the first place. You missed it. It wouldn't be like this if you'd have heard God. Am I the only one? Anyone else ever heard those? You got to rejoice in hope. You got to have hope like Abraham's, who against hope believed in hope. Your hope does not come from your circumstances. Your hope comes from him, the God of hope. Okay, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. That word patient would be better translated endurance. You endure in tribulation. And once in a while you might think about praying. No. Continuing instant in prayer. Remember, this is after Romans 8. In my mind, I mean, it's fine to pray in your known language, but your intellect normally does not know how to get you out of your problem. Amen? So when it's tribulation and problems going on, to me especially, that's the time. Even though nothing you know, feels like praying, it's bad. How did Dave say it? Your lower lip is interfering with the gas pedal, you know. No, you rejoice. You endure, and you continue instant in prayer. He is praying your way out of that. Amen. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. That's just talking about if you find somebody that's in need and you're able to help them. Now, again, you got to put a lot of qualifiers on there. I am not interested in helping lazy people continue in their laziness. I'm not interested in helping you too much with your Cadillac payment. If you can't afford it, if you bought something. But I'm real interested in little kids not going to bed hungry. You understand what I'm saying? So even if the daddy is a lazy bum and the mama's a lazy bum, you still help the kids. You know, you have food in the house. Yes, sir. I don't know. This is a strange evening. Well, people can put you under condemnation on this too. So you got to be, I mean, man, they can start flat. You know, you can have certain people come in here and they can start putting all kinds of starving babies, pictures and movies and everything up there. And pretty soon, you know, you're maxing out your Visa card because of the guilt on the inside. Listen, you could empty everything you have. That squatter camp that I was in South Africa goes on over the horizon. When you want to talk about needs on this planet, whatever you have, you know, at least the ones I'm talking to here, unless you have billions, you could do everything you have, your car, your savings account, everything you have, and it wouldn't make a drop in the bucket compared to the need there. What he's talking about, the way he said it to me, that really helped me. You know the story of Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus? The way he said it to me, he says, son, I'm not going to hold you accountable for every poor person on planet Earth. I'm not holding you accountable for that. He says, but I will hold you accountable for every Lazarus that I lay at your gate. Now, there's times when he makes you aware and you get a witness on the inside. Maybe you become aware of a need, but this time you get a witness on the inside. All right, he wants me to do something about this. Okay, so, you know, we're going to have to go get some groceries and take it over there. Maybe gas up the car. Maybe loan them a car. Maybe buy their insurance. Maybe pay the rent. I don't know. But there's a real balance there between the walk of the Spirit and taking false responsibility. False responsibility is a mental exercise based on human compassion, not his compassion. I'll go ahead and tell you that one, too. He told me one time, he says, human compassion, when it is substituted for my compassion, is as deadly as poison. That's real easy to see when it comes to enabling. A lot of parents, they have a teenager who's on drugs or alcohol or whatever, and they won't ever really deal with it scripturally. They won't stand up for what's right and deal with it, and they just keep enabling, okay? You're going to have to hear from God. I'm telling you, sometimes they got to be like the prodigal son. That the father loved that prodigal, was looking for that prodigal, but he did not go and jerk that prodigal out of that situation he was in. Sometimes you got to hit bottom. Sometimes you got to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times before you get it. But there's a difference between human compassion and God's compassion. Right on the other hand, he never gives up on you. His real compassion will deliver you and set you free and put you, make you whole again. Amen? All right, we're going to run out of time if we don't go a little quicker here. Verse 14, everybody does this. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them. You want to see? I'm pretty transformed, okay? How'd you react the last time somebody called you an idiot and said you believe bad stuff and you're a false prophet and you're stupid? Bless you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Bless you, my brother. Mm-hmm. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, be honest with you. I love the Word of Faith movement in this sense. They saved my life. Without the Word of Faith, I would have died before I ever heard of Dave Roberson of cancer. Because I got that in my early 40s before we ever came here. They gave me 6 months to live. And I'm telling you right straight, it was the Word of Faith message that got me through that. Same with Sue. She had the same kind of thing. But where they miss it is a verse like this. It's almost like, well, your only problem is lack of faith. Lack of faith is a major problem. But it's not the only problem. There's other things, okay? My Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. We are not called to be some kind of robotic automatons that have no emotion, no compassion, no love, and no tender mercies. Paul would say, my bowels of mercies. We don't use that phrase, but man, you hurt when they hurt. Praise God. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I remember Dave. I remember Pastor Dave. He there was a minister, I think, in Michigan, and they were having some kind of a conference, and there were all these prophets. And anyway, something kind of flaky was going on. They called for Dave to come and help. So here comes just Pastor Dave in his normal, you know, kind of dress like this, you know, a pattern kind of how he used to wear. Now he wears blue jeans all the time. But anyway, you know, just his normal square bottom shirt. And he shows up, and everybody there has got on these prophet suits. You know, I mean, they're, you know, it seemed like the more buttons on your suit nowadays, the higher you are. And he says one of them was like Big Bird. It was canary yellow with yellow shoes and everything, you know, and they were prophet this and apostle that and prophet over there. And they'd ask him, you know, because Dave, he just, you know, they had whoever service it really was, they wanted Dave to minister. So Dave ministers and the gifts of the Spirit start flowing. People start getting healed and blind eyes opening and all kinds of stuff. Well, later these prophets, they're going, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm Pastor Dave Roberson." They go, No. "Who are you?" And they were trying to get him to pump himself up. "Well, I'm apostle this or I'm prophet that." No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to be wise in your own. We need to condescend to men of low estate. Verse 17, everybody, all Christians are like this. "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Some more honest people in the building. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Somebody sent me this true story. A preacher who was a new preacher in town. I was checking out of the line at just getting some groceries. And as he was walking away, after he made change, he found out that they gave him 25 cents too much. Got 25 cents too much. Well, his first thought is, "It's only 25 cents. Hey, they've overcharged me before." You just put it in your pocket and go on. But he thought a minute and he said, no, I better go back. So he goes back and it was a young man checking. He says, "Sir, you gave me 25 cents too much." And the young man says, "I know." "You know? I know who you are. I know you're the new pastor that's just come to town. And I was just checking to see if I could trust you. I'll be in church Sunday morning." Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Is that good? Is that good or what? If it be possible, and sometimes it's not always is. Jesus didn't live at peace with all men. It's not always possible. But if it is, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Doesn't mean it's always going to work. Stephen found out it doesn't always work. Okay. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Somebody does you wrong, boy, the natural human tendency, avenge. "But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" You know how he normally will repay them? He'll do everything he can to get them saved. If he can. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Isn't that a great chapter? We don't teach enough out of that chapter. You talk about that last 16 through 21 especially. You talk about, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not only will you find your calling, but you'll start bearing about that image that's really on the inside of you. You'll start doing exactly like it says here, and it will come naturally eventually, because that's just who you are. Amen?